This is Dr. Allie Evans welcoming you to Light on Health, a show where we shine the light on a full spectrum of topics that affect your health and that of our entire community. My guest today is Chris Peck, and we're going to be talking about taking pictures, but taking medical pictures. So welcome to the show. I'm glad to have you.
Great. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah. And tell us not necessarily once upon a time, this is where I was born, but tell us a little bit about yourself.
Born and raised in Boise, Idaho.
Uh-huh.
Did my undergraduate work at Idaho State University in Pocatello. Went to radiology x-ray school at Boise State. And then 1993 made my way to the state of Oregon.
And was imaging, or tell us, like, how did that start fascinating you? Imaging and looking at the body from the inside out and all of that.
I think from a young age, I was always interested in the medical field. When I got into college, I was an athletic trainer, did some work with physical therapy, and had an injury myself, and had to undergo medical imaging, MRI, CTs, and it just fascinated me.
Mm-hmm. And even at that age, were you like, I wonder how this works? Or not so much, it was just cool.
No, I liked the whole thing. I wanted mm-hmm. to know how it worked. I liked to see the images and how it related to the different anatomy of the body, and I was hooked.
Right.
Yeah.
Where did we start from, I think, in imaging? Where did it start from? I mean, what was like the earliest?
So x-rays, again, were not invented. They were discovered by Dr. Rentgen, who used x-rays and maybe sort of inadvertently discovered the fact that they could be used for medical imaging mid-century 1800s.
Huh. So you mean not invented because
the
radiation, it's a natural
produced.
Thing.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then now we've got, name off the big ones. We have CT.
So,
which is...
So CT or CAT scan, yep. MRI, ultrasound, x-ray, obviously mammography, which uses an x-ray to look at breast tissue,
mm-hmm.
The nuclear medicine family. So a full spectrum of ways and abilities to look at the human body.
What's in the future, do you think? What's the next chapter of radiology?
I think it's probably a bigger use of MRI,
mm-hmm.
Sort of the non-ionizing radiation modalities.
Uh-huh. And when you say that, we'll talk a little bit more specifically for people about each one, but what does that mean, the non-ionizing?
So it does not use radiation to produce an image. So
right.
Both MRI and ultrasound, MRI uses a radio frequency to produce an image, and ultrasound uses what technology used to be sonar. So it's sonography.
Right.
Yeah.
And that is, I think I was telling you, many of my patients don't know, which is totally understandable, but don't realize that when you go in for an MR, that it's not... You're not getting radiation.
Yeah, you are not. You're actually going into a magnetic environment.
Right.
So we have a whole nother set of worries when we bring a patient into the MRI environment, and that is because you're walking basically into a superconductive
magnet.
Right. We want to make sure that we keep you as safe as possible. So there are a lot of questions, a lot of screening about prior history, about things like metal in your body, prior surgeries, have you had a stent, a coil, even nowadays a tattoo or a piercing. Two concerns. Number one is that the magnet would remove it from your body.
The piercing.
Or that it would heat up. And we certainly don't want to cause more problems.
What about the tattoo? What's the deal with the tattoo?
The tattoo, sometimes they use metallic inks.
And
the metallic ink can heat up in a magnetic environment.
Huh, which would not be
not
a good,
good.
Situation.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're in a small tube.
Well. And you're in a small tube. Yeah, there's enough anxiety alone in completing an MRI for those who are claustrophobic or
right.
have issues of that nature.
Again, right.
The last thing that we want to do is cause harm to the patient.
Right. So let's chat for a minute about what CMH has, because your position is manager of medical imaging.
Yeah. So
at CMH.
Yeah. So
at
I'm in charge of the imaging facilities. So that would include CT, MRI, X-ray, ultrasound, mammography, nuclear medicine. And then with our new cancer center coming in the fall, we'll also be PET CT
mm-hmm.
and a certain portion of the radiation therapy side.
Mm-hmm. And what I know you have some numbers, and I'm excited to hear the numbers. How many images do we do? What's our usage here at CMH?
So last year, 2016, we did just roughly over 42,000 exams. For the folks in our community.
So that means any type of imaging?
Any type of imaging. Okay. So we count that as a full exam. So if you had a wrist x-ray, that would be one. If you had a mammography, that would be one. Mm-hmm. So for a critical access 25-bed hospital, we're a busy place.
Yeah. Are our numbers kind of high in terms of usage?
No, or... I would say they are on par with really what's going on in the medical community.
Uh-huh.
Imaging is the eyes of the physician.
Right. Yeah. I know how many, I don't know if you know this number, this is, might be a guess, but how many people, like, out of 10 patients that come in, how many do you think will have some sort of imaging?
I would say 9 out of 10.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah, that's the unique thing about imaging is that we play a role in every aspect of the hospital.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's go into each kind of imaging for a minute and let people know what exactly it is, because I know a lot of these are thrown around a lot and people sometimes don't really know the difference between, like, a CAT scan and an MRI. So x-rays... are just your basic...
Yeah, general use x-ray. Again, primarily we are looking at musculoskeletal. We're looking for fractures. We're looking for breaks. Obviously, things like foreign bodies.
Right.
If you had a nail stepped on a piece of glass, sometimes we can see that. But general x-rays really are just sort of a general look, musculoskeletal.
So you're really looking at bone?
You're really looking at bone. You're not going to see much ligament or muscle
right.
Damage whatsoever. So we have the other modalities along the lines of CT, MRI, ultrasound. CT is big. We can take general x-rays, make very small cuts, and look at both bones. We can look at vascular flow. We can look at... soft tissue areas of the body. We use a lot of CT to look at head and neck vascular.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if we're looking at somebody who's coming in with acute signs of stroke, again, at that point, we're looking either for a bleed or a blockage.
Right.
And CT would be the go-to
So modality. CT kind of became like a souped-up x-ray in that sense.
Yeah.
Like we're able to see, and if for anyone who hasn't seen it, it kind of provides like, it's like slices of on a loaf of bread. You can see slices through...
You can. We can look at different planes of the body, whether they be axial or sagittal. And again, think of it as a loaf of bread and cutting it into sandwich slices or cutting it into long slices. We can reconfigure those images at very small intervals to look for disease.
And the benefit of it versus just a regular x-ray is that you're able to see those soft tissues and the blood vessels and the organs.
It's a very quick turnaround modality for us. A typical CT scan may take anywhere between 15 and 60 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a general x-ray, again, milliseconds, but you're
right.
only getting sort of one-dimensional views.
Right.
Yeah.
And let's talk for a minute about the difference in radiation between an x-ray and a CAT scan.
Yeah. So obviously a CAT scan is going to have higher radiation dose to the patient.
And how much higher?
Sometimes it can be tens to hundreds times higher. But
mm-hmm.
you have to remember that a basic x-ray is very low in
right.
terms of radiation exposure.
Right.
Everybody who's involved in radiology sort of applies what we call the ALERA principle.
Mm-hmm.
ALERA is as low as reasonably achievable,
uh-huh.
meaning we use the lowest dose possible to get the best image
to
quality.
See what you need to see.
Yeah.
And so with a CAT scan, is it less likely you'd have to do more imaging again? I mean, do you kind of get everything you need in that one, or not necessarily?
Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
CT is our go-to modality if you need quick imaging and quick results.
Yeah.
So
I know it's used a lot like in the ER because it's very quick.
It is very quick mm-hmm. for us. The turnaround time to get the patient in and out and back to the emergency room is very quick.
Yeah.
When we move to the next step, which would be MRI, MRI can show great detail on soft tissue structures, ligaments, tendons, muscles. It's great for imaging the spinal cord for the brain. But in an emergency situation, you don't want to spend 40 minutes imaging
in
a patient.
MRI machine.
When you can do it in a CT scan in less than 30 seconds.
And so, like we said, the CT is x-ray, it's radiation.
It is.
But the MRI, like you were saying, is more magnet.
It is.
And...
it's a radio frequency.
Uh-huh.
So it's a superconductive magnet.
Yeah.
And so really for a time while the patient is in the magnet, the patient is actually magnetic.
Right.
And that returns an image to us.
Mm-hmm.
Longer scanning times, anywhere between 30 minutes to an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Motion is the biggest thing when it comes to any sort of imaging. Any kind of motion will degrade the image.
That's right.
And
so you have to have someone be totally still for that whole time.
And for those folks who have been in an MRI, it is a very confined space.
Yes. Yeah. Right. And a CT scanner, which I have not been in, is that is, I've seen the pictures and I've seen them, but that's a less confined. It's more like a donut instead of a tube.
That's what we say. When patients come in and they say, oh, I've had this done before, we will normally ask, did it feel more like a donut or did it feel more like you were in a tube? And they'll say, oh, no, it was like a tube. And we think to ourselves, well, then you must have had an MRI.
Right. Yeah. And so it sounds like from what you're saying, an MRI is even better. Would you say it's even better in terms of the quality of images, but the downside is that it takes longer and you have the motion component?
Yes, definitely. And again, MRI would not be a modality a physician would order if they were looking for bony detail.
Uh-huh,
It is strictly soft tissue.
Right. And how about relative costs?
Cost, MRIs are expensive. Mm-hmm. The difference in cost between a CT and an MRI, CTs probably run on the low side, $1,500 to $3,500, an MRI maybe
to
more.
You mean what's billed to insurance?
Yeah, certainly not what the patient's going to pay if the patient has insurance. And on the MRI side, maybe more like $5,000 to $9,000, depending on the complexity of the imaging.
Mm-hmm. And so is there sort of a order of operations of what you're going to order? Like, so if, for example, if you're looking at organs, not bones, but you're looking at maybe, you know, softer structures in the body, would you start with a CT because it's less expensive, or does it really depend on what organ you're looking at and what you're looking for?
Sometimes it can be organ dependent. A lot of times it can be patient dependent. Mm-hmm. There is a reference out there called an appropriateness criteria, mm-hmm. where you would look at the different modalities with whatever you are trying to diagnose. And it does a good job at telling you here's sort of the biggest bang for your buck.
Right.
So every patient that has an appendicitis probably doesn't need to go into an MRI.
Right.
Especially if it's an acute appendicitis or it's an emergent situation, a CT would certainly suffice and give you the information that you need.
What about ultrasound in that case?
Ultrasound, again, depending on location, do you have a sonographer available? Are you comfortable looking at ultrasound images? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of times where you can't see an appendicitis on ultrasound, and then CT may be your next go-to move.
Gotcha. And in terms of MRI, what is the thing you think of in your head of like, nope, we just need an MRI for this?
Yeah.
CT won't work. Yeah. Plain film won't work.
Yeah. For us, I would say any kind of spinal imaging.
Yeah.
MRI is our go-to.
Yeah.
Again, if you're looking at complex issues within the brain, MRI, and CMH is very fortunate enough to have both a low field and a high field strength magnet, which sort of covers the entire area.
When would you use each?
I think low field strength is probably what most hospitals have. Magnets are measured in what are called Teslas.
Mm-hmm.
The hospital has a 1.5 Tesla unit, which is good for general imaging. We also have a 3 Tesla, twice the magnetic field and strength, better image quality to look at very detailed areas of the body.
And what would the high field look like? Look at more. What would you use?
Again, I would say sort of brain or spinal imaging.
Gotcha.
And especially with our new cancer center coming on, complex imaging that would require something more than a 1.5. Again, our entire goal is to try and keep our patients in the community.
Right.
And provide the services that they would need here.
Right. And tell us, so with the cancer center that's going to open, which is a joint venture between OHSU and CMH, what more will we add to our radiology?
So within the physical building, there is obviously space for oncology, for the practice, for the physicians, infusion, chemotherapy. The biggest sort of new technology that's coming to the community is radiation therapy.
Mm-hmm.
And we will also have another CT scanner over there, which helps in treatment planning for radiation therapy, but we will also use it for diagnostic purposes as well. And then PET CT, which is going to be brand new to the coast. PET CT is...
And that's what people call PET scans.
PET scans, which is a fusion between sort of CT and nuclear medicine.
Tell us a little bit about what nuclear medicine is.
So nuclear medicine normally uses a radioactive isotope. The patient is injected or ingests the isotope, and that isotope may be tagged to a white blood cell, a red blood cell, but it will show us function. The PET CT is very good for oncology in showing primary tumor location or the spread of tumor or the metastasis of a tumor.
So what happens is the patient will take a or be injected with this isotope,
yes,
and then it goes onto their cells, and it'll go onto the cancer cells, basically.
Yeah, it tends to find areas of high activity,
uh-huh,
which for us means area of disease.
Right. And then it'll show up there, but it won't. So it just kind of highlights the areas, but it doesn't show you specifically what it is. It shows.
Correct. It'll just show you
areas
of activity.
High activity.
Yeah. And again, with standard lab tests, blood work, prior CTs, prior MRIs, prior imaging, patient history, the physician is sort of given all the information to help with the patient make a diagnosis.
That makes sense. And now when I've had patients ask before, so when people go in and you'll hear like, oh, I'm going to get this image with contrast. Mm-hmm. That's different than what you're talking about, taking in an isotope.
Correct.
Contrast is, explain to us a little bit about what contrast is.
So contrast is an IV medication. So we're going to start an IV probably in your arm. We inject contrast, and that contrast mimics the flow of blood.
Mm-hmm.
Because blood doesn't have a high density, x-rays don't show that.
Right.
So we use contrast, not just in CT, but we use it on the interventional side to look at the flow of blood.
Mm-hmm.
In a CT specific exam, we may be looking to see, does a tumor have blood flow?
Mm-hmm.
We may see, is there swelling? Is there bruising? Is there an abscess where that contrast would pool?
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of scans that we do both with and without contrast to look at the sort of the dynamic changes between.
And I've had patients ask about the side effects of getting the contrast media injected.
Yeah. Now, it used to be iodine-based.
Right.
So, of course, patients who had a sensitivity or a reaction to iodine would have everything from hives to itching to sort of very serious.
And then you tell them not to move
side
in the
effects.
Machine.
Yeah, and then you ask them not to move. Nowadays, it is not iodine-based. We see very, very few reactions to IV
mm-hmm.
contrast.
Right.
But we still ask if patients have any allergies to things that are high in iodine. One of our standard questions is, do you have an allergy to shellfish?
Mm-hmm.
Shellfish tends to be high in iodine, and even though the contrast is not, sometimes it can mimic a reaction.
Uh-huh. How often do you see that?
Very rarely, mm-hmm. Maybe one or two a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Do they start to say, like, I'm really itchy?
That's it. And we'll start to ask, are you having any redness, itching, difficulty
uh-huh.
breathing? And we'll sort of assess our patients along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes we'll pre-medicate our patients with some Benadryl
right.
Beforehand.
Right. Yeah. We're going to take a quick break here, and we'll be right back discussing taking medical pictures at CMH with Chris Peck.
Yes,
we are talking with Chris Peck about medical imaging at Columbia Memorial Hospital. You're listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio. So let's talk a little bit about what a patient can, kind of advice you'd give patients who are having these kind of images. You know, most patients are familiar with just getting an x-ray, but what's advice you'd give, especially I know with MRIs, it's really, can be really intense for a patient, especially if they think like I'm going in this tube and I can't get out and, you know.
Yeah. I would say for me, it's communication. So your physician orders a specific test. Ask your physician about that test. Ask them the very intricate questions regarding what am I going to experience? And if they don't know, call imaging.
Right.
We're obviously going to call you to schedule the exam, but we have a lot of handouts and pamphlets on what to expect and how long you'll be here. For MRI specific, if I have a patient who calls me and says, I've had a bad experience, we might invite them in
mm-hmm.
Prior to their exam and
right.
say, would you like to be refamiliar with the environment? Do you want to try and go into the magnet? We'll bring you in. We'll bring you out. We'll make sure you're comfortable with
right.
it. As much as we like to produce images for our referring physicians, we're also a reference and a resource for providers, for patients, should
yeah.
they have questions. This is what we do day in and day out.
That's right.
We'd like to be that reference for not just the physicians in our community, but also for the patients in our
right.
community.
How about the noise of an MRI machine?
An MRI machine can be clanky if you've ever been in one.
What is going on in there with all those
clanking? Yeah, so there's all the buzzing and the clanking. Again, we provide either earplugs or earphones or music for our patients.
That's nice. Yeah.
Again, like I say, it's a confined space, so anything we can do to make the patient comfortable to get their mind off of where they are and what's going on.
And the patient is able to talk to the tech doing it the entire time.
Absolutely. The patient is always observed. The patient is always monitored. We give them a little squeeze ball that if they feel like they can't complete the exam, they squeeze that ball and we shut it down.
Yeah.
And we'll go in and find out what's going on with the patient and ask if they feel that they can continue. Do they need a break?
Right.
It's what's nice about the hospital here is it's not a production line. Uh-huh. We have time for our patients and we take time with our patients.
Yeah. Isn't that one of the many benefits of living in a small community?
It really is. It really is. And the hospital really allows us to do that. Mm-hmm. Make a connection with the patient. We're a plane tree facility.
That's right.
And really what that means to the community is we have time to make this patient centered.
Right. Right. And one of the most common questions I hear from my patients is like, okay, I just had a CT done and I got a bill I saw that they billed my insurance $6,000. How much of that, you know, is that really what it costs? And how much of that actually goes to the image and how much of it is, you know, tell us a little bit about kind of the costs inherent in imaging.
So patients are going to see two bills if they have an imaging study at Columbia Memorial Hospital. You're going to get a technical fee, which is for the scan itself.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the technologist providing the scan, the use of the equipment. And this equipment is very expensive.
Mm-hmm. How much is it? How much does it cost to buy like the new equipment that we're buying for the cancer center, the PET CT?
So, I mean we're talking tens of millions of dollars.
Uh-huh.
A CT scan maybe $1 million.
Uh-huh.
An MRI scanner, maybe $5 or $7 million.
Uh-huh.
So it's a big investment on the part of the hospital.
Right.
We're very fortunate enough here in Astoria and on the coast to have a full service.
Right.
If we didn't have that, patients would be traveling back and forth probably to Portland or at least Longview.
Right.
So prices, when you see that bill, really, unless you are have no insurance or are underinsured, that's not the price you're going to pay.
Right. That's what they build insurance.
That's what they build the insurance. And then the second bill you're going to get is from the radiologist, which we call the professional fee, and that is going to be his fee to
interpret
mm-hmm. and get a report back to your physician.
And a question I also am asked is it something that patients should shop around for? Like, is it that the cost of a CT is the same everywhere? Or is it like if you were in a big city or somewhere else that it would be cheaper just, you know?
Yeah. I think in the Portland area where there is competition between hospitals, you are probably going to find somewhat lower prices. When we set our prices here at Columbia Memorial Hospital, we take that into consideration.
Sure, sure.
I know that we have some MRIs that are probably higher than our competitors.
Sure.
But again, we also have the overhead of having a high strength and a low strength magnet here available on the coast. So some of that is convenience.
Right.
But I would say for the most part, most prices are straight across the board when it comes to imaging.
Right.
Both here in Astoria, next closest would be the Longview area, and then into Portland. I think you're going to find them very comparable.
Is there a quality difference?
I would say there is no quality difference. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, imaging is very highly regulated.
Mm-hmm.
Again, for patient safety, when we open a modality or provide a service here, it is normally an accredited service.
Mm-hmm.
So we are having other physicians, other radiologists look at our images and deem them to be acceptable.
Yeah.
So quality level, I think quality is now sort of a given.
Uh-huh.
That if you're not providing quality images, you're not going to be in business long.
Sure. How often do physicians or the radiologists look at the image and say, like, go back, you need better images?
Or, rarely.
Yeah, I would think we've gotten kind of far in.
Yeah. A lot of times it'll be patient motion.
Uh-huh.
And most of the time the technical staff will see that, try and repeat either that image or that sequence so that they're only sending quality images to the radiologist.
Right. I mean, if a patient has to sneeze, a patient has
They've
to sneeze.
They've got to do it. Yeah, you can't stop that.
Yeah.
But again, the technologist or the person providing the image really does a quick look, a QC of their mm-hmm. own images to make sure they're sending good quality.
Where do you think, like, 20 years from now, where do you think imaging will be? Do you think it'll be kind of what we're doing, but just less radiation?
I'm hoping less radiation.
Uh-huh, right.
What I have seen, so I've now been doing this will be 30 years for me uh-huh. in the profession. And when I started, it was film and chemicals.
Yes,
and
right.
Now we're starting to see it be more electronic imaging.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but think that it's going to continue down that path where there will be no more film anywhere, that images will be stored in the cloud, that they will be easily transferred from facility to facility.
Yeah, which would be great.
Which would be great for the patient, in ease of moving images to the appropriate person who needs to see
right.
them.
The patient doesn't have to walk around with a CD anymore.
Correct.
And forget
request
it.
A CD yeah. or perhaps show up for their appointment and the CD hasn't arrived.
That's
or the
right.
doctor has the report but not images, or images and not the report.
That's right.
I am hoping that medicine really now becomes more about the patient, as we've seen, and less about documentation and less about billing, and more about patient quality.
Right. And do you think we'll get earlier and earlier diagnoses happening?
I hope
just
so.
Better? Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah.
Preventative medicine, I think, is the key to someone staying healthy the majority of their life.
Right.
And so we have special considerations, at least, you know, here in the coast. We see a lot of patients who are diabetic. We see a lot of patients who have obesity. We see a lot of patients who don't get a lot of exercise and don't have great nutrition. I think there's a lot of work that needs to be done on preventative care.
Yeah. Any memorable stories you have in mind of anything within that you've been working on, or anything in the medical field, or any patient interactions? Or
I had a very unique experience. I came up here from the San Francisco Bay Area, and for a short time there, I was involved in opening a hospital facility on the campus of San Quentin Prison.
Which is lifers.
Is the maximum security prison for the state of California. Again, it's in a beautiful area of the Bay Area. And again, providing services in that environment is a challenge, to say the least. But I found it to be very rewarding.
Mm-hmm.
It really was about patient care.
And like you had mentioned to me, having to figure out imaging for someone in shackles where you
can't
use magnets.
It can be a challenge, mm-hmm. absolutely. But I will tell you, some of the greatest patients that I have ever had were prisoners who were life, who mm-hmm. were serving a life sentence.
Mm-hmm.
They were so appreciative that somebody would provide any sort of care for them. That's not what they were used to.
Right.
That it became a very good experience for me.
Right. And that idea of just basic human dignity. Everyone has a body. Everyone needs, you know, needs treatment. Everyone has things go wrong.
Yeah, yeah. It is nice to be able to provide care for somebody who needs your skill set. It really
That's
is.
That's right. And probably is really grateful. There's probably a little difference in gratitude there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a great experience.
Yeah. That is memorable,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Would you go back?
You know, not long term, no.
Yeah.
No. It's probably not the environment that I would want to spend the rest of my career.
How long does it take to, like, have to go into work? Like, you have to clear all the...
It's probably a good 30, 40 minutes to be able to get through the front gates, through security, through primary, secondary checks to make sure that you're not either bringing in or taking out contraband. And it's every day. And even though you see these folks every day, there has to be a certain amount of security that happens in an environment like that.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it, like, takes the meaning of morning commute to a whole new
level. It really
does.
It really
does.
You have
the commute plus the getting into the prison.
Yes. And explaining to your children that you work in the prison, you're not in prison.
Yes.
Yeah.
So just as a last moment thing, is there any resources for patients out there if they want to learn more about radiology or images they're having done? Or
yeah, absolutely. There's a great website called radiologyinfo.org.
Just heard a radio commercial for that
yeah.
the other day, actually.
We link to it on our CMH imaging website page.
Uh-huh.
So again, patients can go there and sort of get an idea on what to expect for a certain test. But there's nothing like one-to-one contact, and I would encourage patients, call the imaging department, ask for me, ask for one of the techs if you're having an MRI. They're more than happy to sit down and explain to you the study, what to expect, how to dress, how you'll feel, how long you're going to be there, what does the follow-up look like.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that's why we're here, is to provide these services to the folks of our community.
Right. Well, thank you for being here. Thanks
You're
for being
welcome.
Part of our community. And don't leave to go back to San Quentin just yet.
Yeah,
we want you here.
Thank you for the opportunity. This has been great.
Yes. You've been listening to Light on Health on Coast Community Radio with my guest, Chris Peck. Join me next month as we discover more things in the world, the wide world of health. Thank you. A very special thank you to our engineer, Kate Brister. Without her, you would not be hearing a live show, because I don't know how to work this machinery. It's my hope that we've enlightened and empowered you to take one tiny step forward towards your own radiant health. Have a great day. היום זורם זורם כמו אתמול, כמו שלשום, וזה אותו כחול גדול, אותו עוף בשמיים.